finally looked at the Google Earth view of this place. I finally got up in the satellite and checked out Google Earth of Winburn, Pennsylvania. We're in the mountains. When did this happen? Yeah, it was pretty awesome. Yeah, I didn't realize how much in the middle of nowhere we are. Yeah, I had a sneaking suspicion. I kind of thought we were. And then I looked from the satellite's eye view on Google Earth, and indeed, we are stuck in the hills. But the hills are alive with the sound of scripture here. And that's what I'm bringing you here on the Friday edition of the Martin Zender Show. Welcome, folks. Google us. Go ahead and Google 412 Bedford Street. That's where I live. 412 Bedford Street, Winburn, Pennsylvania. And Google Earth it and drop in on me via satellite. You might be able to look in the window. I'll wave at you. We're going to finish some letters today. I might not get through them. Might have to get through them on Monday. We shall see. This is from a young man. Oh, that one, those questions I was reading? Check this out. I didn't realize this, but it's from a woman in the Netherlands, and I forget what country. Again, I always get confused about the Netherlands. Is Holland the Netherlands? Is the Netherlands Holland? Then what about Norway? Is that part of the Netherlands? Surely it's not part of Holland. And then there's the Danish. Are Hollanders... I know I brought this up before. Are Hollanders Danish, or are Danish Hollanders? Or is it mutually exclusive or mutually inclusive? I'm not sure. But she was from the Netherlands, which I'm going there. It's official. I couldn't turn down another invitation, so I am going to be going to Holland. There's a good group out there. A lot of you are listening from the Netherlands, and I love all of you, and I'm going to come see you this summer. And that is being arranged, and I'm going to get to England as well. So tell you more about that as evolves. Hey, Martin, this is from a young man here in the United States of America. Some days I have real doubts about what I believe, and that's normal. Don't panic over that. Simply because we live in such a world that depends so heavily on what you can see, taste, touch, and feel. When it really boils down to it, I can't prove that my Bible is true. And that is true. Well, Dr. Bullinger has an amazing book, Numbers in the Scripture, and there is internal evidence in the Scriptures that proves that it's divinely inspired, and basically that would be numerics. Also, structure, and Bullinger brings out the structure. There's internal evidence in the Bible that proves it is supernaturally authored, because this could not have happened with how many different authors over so many years, and so that is a great comfort. But you're right, we don't have the originals. There's no physical evidence ever shown up that Jesus Christ was an actual person. Unlike Pontius Pilate, you remember they found Pontius Pilate's name inscribed on a stone? That was a huge excavation discovery about, I don't know how many years ago that was. Many, many years ago now, but that's pretty cool. See his actual name, Procurator of Judea. So, yeah, you know what? I was thinking about this today. Evolution. It takes just as much faith to believe in evolution as it does in creation. Evolution is still trying to produce the missing link, and we don't have any photographic evidence of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. I had a priest tell me, I was playing ping pong with this priest one day, and he told me, yeah, he visited our house, played ping pong. No, I always beat him, because we gave him lots of beer. Oh, they all like beer. Every priest I ever met had a thing for beer. Yep, some of them were alcoholics too. But anyway, Adam and Eve is a fable, he used to say. And it's just a story, you know. It's a nice, happy little way to say God created things. Well, no, it's not a happy little way. It's fact. And evolution, it's fact, yet we rely on faith. It's fact because we rely on the written revelation, the inspiration, the God-breathed word. But you have to take evolution by faith as well, because there is no missing link. There's no scientific evidence. I'll never forget, what's the guy's name? L. Ray Smith. Many of you know L. Ray Smith. He died last year. Good friend of mine. Great believer in universal reconciliation. I edited his amazing epic letter to Dr. James Kennedy. And I had him speak at my conference in Willard, Ohio, And he was very good on the topic of evolution. And he said most of the, even the adherents of evolution admit there's really a dearth of evidence for it. That means not much. I really have to sneeze. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I think I'll leave that in. I think I leave that. That was a good sneeze. And so even evolutionists have to admit that, that there's no hard evidence. So don't feel bad about this young man, because our, the enemies of the faith can't prove it either. Nobody can prove there's not a God. I mean, if you look at creation, anybody, as you've been reading in the Romans series that I'm writing in my ZWTF newsletter, anybody, in fact, everybody, knows by conscience, by instinct, that there is a God because of creation, because of what they see in the created world. Sure, I can see nature all around me, but I can't prove that Adam was created. I can't prove that Abraham ever lived. And some are saying archaeology can't find proof that the Israelites ever lived in Egypt. And on it goes. And so, yeah, I have doubts. Thank God he has given me faith, because otherwise this seems insane. Yes, and I've told you folks many times, God purposely does things that seem insane to try your faith and to test it. Days like today remind me to go back to his word and read. Good idea. Thanks for your podcasts. It's a light in this dark eon where faith gets hammered. And much of the time, we have to live by faith and not by sight. That faith is going to be rewarded. Sorry to be a bit of a downer. Hey, no problem. I do it to myself all the time. I'm just going through one of those lows where it's a little harder to believe than on other days. And as I always say, tomorrow is a different day. So just hang on one more day. That might be the, all you have to hang on for is one more day. It very, could very well be. I believe that. Love to you, brother. Keep the faith and keep up your work. Thank you very much. Love that letter. Now I'm going to read you another one from Monica. Actually, that's not her real name, is it? No, it's not. That's okay. Hi, Martin. I've heard almost all your radio shows with Sheridan. I like how she calls him Sheridan. Doesn't even use his first name. That's what I do sometimes. Hey, Sheridan, I like that. I'm now hearing your show, Week 59, Near-Death Experiences. Week 59, yeah. You're listening to this series. Good. You don't imagine how much you have helped me. Life makes sense. As you said once, much of the information is something we already think about in that way, but it is you who confirms what I was thinking. Lovely. I would like to be able to express myself and tell you how much your ministry means to me. You are the only one that connects to the true doctrine. Well, thank you, Monica. I'm not the only one that connects to it, but maybe God set this up so I'm the only one that connects with you, or that you can connect with. Maybe there's something about the way I present this as opposed to somebody else that helps you get it. And if that's the case, I am really thankful for that. Here's an email from a man named Ted. Martin, a quick note to say I'm enjoying the shows very much. Thank you for making such entertaining and educational material. Love the current near-death experience detour. Have a good one, Ted. Thanks for saying that. That means a lot to me, especially the entertaining and educational stuff, because I've been striving for that seemingly rare combination for years. And I'm still perfecting it. The delicate mix between entertainment and education. But I always like to be amused while I'm being educated. And when I go to a bookstore, grab a book that has an interesting title, interesting cover, first thing I do is, does this thing have illustration? Are there pictures? And so I write the kind of books I like to find. Now, I'm going to read one more epic letter. I probably won't get all the way through it here on this show. I'll continue it Monday. And then probably Tuesday, back to Hebrews. This is from a man named Dave out west, and he had a really unique experience. I'm going to share this with you because it speaks to how God works with each one of us, and God does not waste anything, and nothing you are going through is arbitrary, is meaningless. That is really helpful to know. Now, the world seems like it's in chaos, and God is doing one heck of a job of making everything look like it's in complete disarray and random chaos. I mean, it looks random. Things just look like they're out of control, but it's not. That's where faith comes in big time. Martin, I have been listening to your broadcasts on the near-death experience, and something you said struck a chord with me. You talked of God in His mercy sometimes giving you a feeling of comfort that made the experience not so scary. I did. You remember? I said that these near-death experiences could be God giving people comfort. And He probably does this to everybody. There's some little comfort that nobody knows about. It's a secret little thing He saves for the hour of your death that when you need it, He gives it to you. A message not so terrifying. And the people who get near death and return to us, they report this experience. Now, on the other hand, I said that some of these could be demonic because these people think they died, and then it just keeps the lie going that there is, that the soul is immortal and that there's no such thing as death, and people go on. They see their loved ones. That's a satanic deception. Nobody dies, these are loved ones. I know they're reporting this. They're reporting that's what they do, but they don't because their loved ones are dead. So it's a satanic delusion because Satan loves that lie. It was his first one. In 1990, Dave says, I was in an aircraft accident, which in most cases should have killed me instantly. The doctors didn't even realize I had broken my neck for 4 days, and they were doing other types of care that should have also killed me. In the process, I had my own near-death experience, and he put near and death in quotation marks, and found myself standing next to the Lord. All right, now what am I to say about this? I'm not going to say anything about it. I'm just going to read this man's experience. And I've met this man. And I believe everything he says. He's a good man. He's a true man. He's a very spiritual man. So I'm not taking this lightly at all. Listen to this. Won't go into detail of the conversation, but look back now and know that that was the first time in my 40 years of living that I finally began to understand the love of God. It was the turning point that got me on the path of understanding the purpose of God. It took me years, and it's only been in the last 5 that I began to see clearly His love for all and His plan of universal reconciliation. I came out of the experience so in love with God that the doctors, who finally figured out I had a severe neck injury, sent me to another city where there were surgeons who could operate and get me stable. Those doctors and nurses told us later of the strange case of me, who, while they are drilling holes in my head and installing a halo to keep my neck totally immobilized, I was laughing, telling jokes, and singing to them on key. They told my wife that they had never experienced that with any other individual they had operated on. Bottom line is, I came through the experience knowing for sure that, quote, there is no condemnation, unquote, but total love for us humans. I have never really doubted my place in God's heart since, except for a time when you and Clyde Pilkington were placed in my path to give understanding of Father's love even more. Yeah, we met this man in Sacramento, and his faith was wavering. This is the time he was speaking of, and he sought counsel from Clyde, and Clyde ministered to him, and I sat in on it, and it was a marvelous thing to see. The journey and learning has been progressive, and even though there were times I believed that we were spirits, God patiently brought me into the knowledge of what death is all about. So this man too believed at one time, like the original writer that sent us on this wonderful rabbit trail, that we were spirits, and as spirits we went on and we never died. And Dave once believed that. And it's okay to once believe it. But now we're heralding, Clyde and Dan and I, heralding the truth, the important truth that death is death. And that we're not spirits. We're human beings who have the Spirit of God, which is taken away at death. He patiently brought me into the knowledge of what death is all about, the reconciliation of all, the false idea of the Trinity, and many of the doctrinal idea failures that are seen in the church. I have lived with pain and some real hardships for over 23 years, but He has always been there to bring me into a knowledge of His love, mercy, and grace. I am thankful for the trials. That's a hard thing to say. Wow, this is a spiritual man. It's only the Spirit of God can make you say that. Thankful for trials? Christianity doesn't even say that. They try to pray you out of their trials. Dave says, I'm thankful for the trials because I know I have been and am on the potter's wheel, and he is bringing me into the place where I can be part of the body of Christ in the next eon. That's right. Everything you're going through is training. Just talking to a sister about a half hour ago, and she's in her 50s, and she has been trained her whole life to, she's studied on her own in this word, the word of God, these mature spiritual truths. She's talked to people individually, and now God is finally launching her into a larger stage where she is affecting more people, and things are opening up for her, but it took getting through boot camp, and we're all getting through boot camp. You're being prepared for the next eon. I love how he said that. I'm being prepared for membership in the body of Christ in the next eon. You may think this is silly, but I believe he has given me a glimpse of what I will be doing in the next eon, and it has to do with, oh boy, it has to do, wait till I'm going to save this for Monday. This is a good story. Oh, sorry to do that. It's like those soap operas, you know, they leave you hanging. But I'm looking at my time here, and I got to go. All right, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for the letters. I'm looking to finish this letter on Monday, and then on Tuesday, we will be, yes, we will. And I will be speaking in tongues again. We will be back into the book of Hebrews, and then there's only one more chapter left, and then you know what's kept the book of Revelation. God bless you. Have a great weekend.